to do God's bidding. In the past years, Barb and I, and more her than me, have made several trips, mostly to the Navajo Reservation, once to New Orleans, but looks like it rubbed off. Our daughter is doing that now, and our granddaughter also was able to go along this year, and I won't steal any of their thunder, but they had the opportunity this year to go to Ecuador, and they can tell you all about it. But Pastor's gone today. Donna got the chance to go home for the first time in 4 years, and they're trying to enjoy that now. They may even be taking in a funeral right before Dennis left. He had an uncle pass away in northern Georgia, so they may be taking that in as well. But we just hope that they have a restful time and can see family and friends. And we're just real glad that you're here today. So, Amanda, I guess if you're going to take charge, now's the time.
I like the sound of that. So I'm Amanda Klepping. I'm from Broadhead, Wisconsin. I'm Barry and Barb's daughter, obviously. My two daughters are here today. My husband and my son weren't able to join us because of a baseball game. So what the plan is that our sound people are going to help us with a picture PowerPoint presentation. Then I'm going to spend a few minutes just talking about the daily, what we did. We spoke at our church last Sunday, and we kind of left that out, and I think it was mildly confusing for some of our listeners about, well, what did you actually do? And then rather than listen to me talk, even though these kids love that, I'm going to let them come up and just give their brief synopsis of what they experienced, not necessarily the daily things, kind of the big things that happened to them kind of on the inside while we were in Ecuador. We're all from Broadhead, Wisconsin, which isn't that far from here, but we do represent a number of different churches, which I think is awesome. These kids all do go to our youth group at Living Word Church in Broadhead. If you want to do the PowerPoint, and I know the slides won't be terribly meaningful to you, but you will get a good idea visually of what we did while we were there. Okay, I'm going to talk because there's no sound and it's awkward. So if this will work, I'm just going to go through what we did while you're kind of watching, listening to something different than what you're seeing is not easy, but we'll give it a try. We left very early on a Monday morning. We traveled all day. So we flew to Miami and then we flew to Quito, which is about a five-hour flight, right, guys? We were grateful for some of the church. So we went to see Steve and Sandy Youngren, who run Compassion Connection in Ecuador. They've been missionaries in Ecuador for, I believe, 14 years. During that time, they have never had a home of their own. They've lived communally. They lived with their daughter, who is also part of the team. They're getting into their late 50s and would kind of like to have a home to retire in. So the church there is called La Fuente. It's in Quito, which is the capital city in Ecuador. And they have a farm, which has a training center on it, up in the mountains at Lasso. So the mountains is about an hour and a half from Quito. It's at about 10,000 feet. I thought that altitude sickness was no big deal. That is until I was at 10,000 feet. Steve and some of his friends from the church came to pick us up. We had a Subaru and a very small pickup and another vehicle. And did I mention that we had 19 suitcases? So that was tricky. Ecuadorians are very good, you saw in one of the slides, at making things fit in small spaces. So we put luggage in the back of a pickup truck, in the trunk, and the rest was on our laps or underneath us. So the luggage was an issue, and Steve's cell phone was stolen while he was at the airport to pick us up. So in Ecuador, if you don't have your cell phone, you have no internet, you have all of your contacts lost, including the driver's numbers. It was kind of a pain, and he was upset by that. The two-hour drive to the farm in Lasso was uneventful for the kids. I have a problem with motion sickness, so it was much more eventful for me. The driver was kind enough to pull over when I told him to pull over. So the second day was acclimation training. We spent a lot of time with Steve and Sandy talking about what was expected. We did some Bible study. We started painting their house. So they had the opportunity to build a very small concrete home on the farm in Lasso. The farm is intended to be self-sustaining, so they have lots of garden crops. That's four guys holding a ladder while the other guy stood on the ladder. The boys that day spent a lot of time moving impossibly heavy 10 to 20-foot steel beams by hand. So it was an exercise in patience, mostly. It's also the day I contracted an amoeba, which, if you've never had one of those, pray you don't get one. Then the next day, we continued working on the house. There were some other teams there from California working on the house. We had a time of sharing and Bible study. We spent time preparing for our trip to the jungle. The girls worked hard to make sure that all our tents were in working order and doing what they were supposed to. We also had the opportunity, those 19 suitcases weren't filled with just clothes for ourselves. We took Steve and Sandy things like Miracle-Gro, Tupperware, Ziploc bags, things that you and I really take for granted on a daily basis that they just can't get there. It was really fun to share. We took Spanish Bibles, four cases of Spanish Bibles to them. For whatever reason, in Ecuador, those are hard to attain, and they just don't have the resources to do that. So we took the gifts to them, and it was like Christmas for them. That was really fun. We went to the jungle. And that's about a five-hour drive deeper into the heart of Ecuador to the south, south and east. We went to a small village called Santana. This is where the Fuente Church is building a church plant. So this village is extremely poor. There's a very high rate of teenage pregnancy outside of marriage, unfortunately. So there's a lot of children having children. We met a young lady, a beautiful young woman. She's 16, and she has two children of her own. Her first child was born when she was 14. Part of the culture in Ecuador, a man is macho when he gets a woman pregnant. That starts very, very young when they're teenagers. And they don't intend to marry them, and they actually move on to another young lady and do the same thing. So that's a bit of the heartbreak of the small villages in Ecuador. Education is optional, so sometimes they go to school, sometimes they need to stay home and they need to work. We saw a number of women working with babies strapped to their backs. We saw a number of orphan children who are early teens, if that, who work every day. The jungle trip was very pivotal for most of us. We are not exposed to that kind of thing in America. If we are, it's a much smaller scale. The poverty is just astounding. They don't have a lot of pride in where they live, so there's garbage everywhere. You saw in the pictures, the home structures are very simple, made with cast-off wood. They have grass on the roof. The homes are built on stilts because of snakes, so you don't want snakes in your bed at night, so the homes are built up off the ground. I'm glad I learned that after I left. There's a man named Dario who is at Santana. The problem is that the people in the village do not relate to the church because there's no actual church structure. They don't understand that you can have a church in someone's living room or someone's home or in the public pavilion. They need to see a church. Additionally, we stayed with the village elder named David. David has a desire for Compassion International, which I'm sure most of you know of, that sponsors children, to come there. They will not come there if there's no church structure. He's willing to donate the land to have them come there and build a school and a facility, but cannot do so without a church. So we went there to the jungle with the intent to work on the church building, which we did. There was a lot of dogs in Ecuador. It's the original alarm system, so everyone has half a dozen. They're disgusting. They have, you know, their skin is coming off, and their one dog in the picture, his nose was missing. It was just disgusting. So when you're trying to eat, you try to strategically hold your plate so you can't actually see them while you're trying to eat. We stayed with David, the village elder, his children, Charlie, and Etza, and Zoila, endeared to our hearts. I mean, the kids were very attached to them. We spent a lot of time in the public pavilion just as white people who had stuff. I mean, the kids come and they're curious as to what we have. They don't care why we're there. They just want us to hold them, hug them, hold their hand, play jump rope with them, put stickers on their face, whatever. Also, while we were in the village, we went on a jungle walk with David. His job is to be a jungle guide. So he has a lot of college kids who come there and want an adventure or an experience of sleeping in the jungle, and he takes them out to do that. Ours was an abbreviated version. We didn't sleep in the jungle. Not in the wild, anyway. And we did whatever he told us to, including we ate some ants that tasted like lemon. He painted our faces with some plant, and we also snorted some stuff up our nose. It was legal stuff. A lot of things in the jungle have medicinal purposes, and he was more than happy to share those with us. Snorting something up your nose in the jungle, it burned like everything. It really hurt. But the purpose of it was to clear out your sinuses and to make you feel better, which you did eventually, but after the fiery burning sensation subsided. The food in Ecuador, some people have asked us about that. It was normal food. We had sloppy joes, and we had spaghetti, and we had normal things when we were at the training center in Lasso. However, in the jungle, we had one meal, and the thing in Ecuador, we were warned ahead of time, you need to eat what you're given. It represents their probably food, only food that they have, so whatever you are given, you need to eat it. So we had boiled bananas with goat cheese inside them. It was disgusting. It was terrible. But that was the only thing that we had a problem with. And we all ate it, except for Cordell's accidentally fell on the ground. We spent a lot of time working at the church site. Abraham and Cordell were really hard workers. They built a wall. You know, Ecuadorians just throw the cement and the sand and the water on the ground and stir it up and carry it by hand to wherever they need it. There's not a lot of fancy anything. There's no cement truck that comes. We unloaded 2,000 cement blocks from the back of a truck, and then we proceeded to build a wall on the church. We wish we could have done more, but time was just against us, and we couldn't get as much done. Let's see. Again, we spent a lot of time playing with the kids in the village, which was awesome. We went on a river walk and took a kind of sketchy cable car across the gorge. Abraham accidentally slipped in the water and caught a fish with his hand, and he gave it to the village kids, and you would have thought he gave them 10 pounds of candy. They were super excited about that. I'll let these guys talk about this a little bit more, but we bathed in the river. There's no other water source to take a bath, and after 3 days, I was ready to take a bath. I didn't care where it was. And while we were there, we had an awesome surprise that Cordell and Abraham were baptized in the river. So, pretty awesome. Saying goodbye to the kids was extremely hard for our kids. They ran along behind the van when we left, and not good. We did get to do some sightseeing on the way back from the village. How many of you know who Nate Saint is? Through the Gates of Splendor, The End of the Spear, the movies? Okay. In 1950, five missionaries and their wives went to Ecuador to try and reach the Wodani tribes, who were in a habit of killing each other frequently. And they were nearing extinction because of their warring. So in 1950, those men went there and took their wives and their families in order to reach these tribes, and the tribes murdered them. Why that's significant in that way, why we went by his house and that was significant to us, they made that possible for us to even be in Ecuador. Because after those men were murdered, those tribes, their wives went to live with them and completely changed the culture and the structure of those tribes in Ecuador, which allowed for other missionaries like us to come there in the next 50 years. On Sunday, we expected to go to church at La Fuente in Quito, but there was a earthquake, thank you, like 5.9 in Quito, and all public gatherings were canceled, so we weren't able to actually go to church there. So we had church at the training center, and then we had the day of rest, which was much needed. In one of the pictures, you saw one of our leaders, Wade, with his fingers bandaged. He had done a little too much grouting when we were building the wall and opened up the skin on his hands, and it got infected. So Wade had the privilege of going to an Ecuadorian clinic, which is an adventure. And he was shelved for a while. He had to sit out, which was really hard for him, but I think that was God's way of telling him that he needed to relax and rest a little. We went to a local hacienda. The haciendas are owned by the rich in Ecuador, and they're basically plantations. The one that we went to was built in 1550, so I'm kind of a history nerd, the kids not so much, so I got to have a good time looking at all the historical things, and they had chocolate cake and hot chocolate. Then we're to the second week. We worked on the farm. The boys had the privilege of moving giant piles of rubble from the construction to another area and spreading it out. It was very hard work. Then we went to Quito. So we were all over the place. We were back to Quito, which is the capital city. We met some new people from the church at La Fuente, and we were going to do an outreach. So we went to a man's house named Tito, packed all of us into his apartment, plus some others, and we made 500 sandwiches in about 30 minutes. When you work together, you can accomplish some stuff. We got to share together, and then we stayed in a hostel in Quito. Hostels in Ecuador, not like a hotel. They don't really wash the bedding after someone else has been there, so you gotta kind of make your choices. The next day, so then we made the sandwiches in order to go to the government hospital. The government hospital is free to those who cannot pay. So what happens is if you cannot pay, you go to the government hospital and you wait. It doesn't matter if you're in labor or you're bleeding or you have cancer or your arm is broken. You just get in line. And there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people in line. You might wait for 2 hours, you might wait for 2 days. There's children crying, there's people's eyes that you know are not, they're not gonna live, they're dying. For our kids to see that and experience that, it is like nothing you have ever experienced before. And they don't have any food because they don't have any money, so they're waiting in line and they're very hungry. They're tired, they're hungry, they're thirsty. So we took the sandwiches and we spread out. My group was in the cancer ward. Mary Grace was with me, and Elizabeth and Cordell and Abraham. So they have to have an armed guard at the door, and the door is locked. You get called by the number that you received. It's like when you get your meat at the deli in North America, only you're waiting to receive care. The inside is pandemonium. The workers are tired. Some of them in there for 16 hours because they know that if they don't stay and they don't work, these people aren't going to get seen. So we distributed the sandwiches. We also met a lady named Carmen. Carmen comes every day. She walks, and she brings 4 gallons of this hot liquid. It contains oatmeal and some fruit juice. It's essentially something to make your stomach feel full. And Carmen does it every day. We distributed all those. We prayed with some people. These people are really sick, and they're really in bad shape, and they're sitting outside. And the equatorial sun is burning down on them. They have tents, but there's no air moving in them. It's very uncomfortable. So Carmen comes every day and brings those 4 gallons of this liquid. Carmen herself, we found out later, has terminal cancer, and she is dying. But she said she's not going to wait to die. She's going to do what she can every day until that happens. So there's a lot of life lessons there. The hospital was extremely emotional. It was very shocking for all of our kids. And you saw one of the pictures of Aaron's face that was just traumatized. But that's something that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. And it will make us think when we want to be impatient or we want to complain about waiting in line for anything, that it's nothing in comparison. A missionary family that works with Compassion Connection, Noah and Kate Brennan and their 4 kids, hosted us for lunch. And Noah's comment to the kids was not to put this trip on a shelf when you return. And I think that stuck with the kids. They hosted us for lunch only to find out that they're having severe financial struggles of their own. They never let us know that. They don't have the support that they need, and they're really struggling. We went back to the farm, and it was pretty quiet on the ride back. There was a lot to think about there. And then Thursday was our second to last day. We worked as much as we could on the finish work for their house. The wood stove arrived, and we got done with all of the painting, so their house was ready to move into, basically, by the time that we left. We had a campfire with Steve and Sandy and worked through some of the things that we had learned, and then Friday, we needed to pack up and head to the airport. So that was a quick 12 days, but the kids, these kids are awesome. And I'm sure the kids in your church are the same way. They surprise you. You know, what we hear in the news and what we see on TV is not a great picture of today's generation, but really, this is the truth of today's generation. They're ready to take over our churches, and they're ready to help us move forward into the future. So I'm going to have the kids introduce themselves, and they're all going to stand up here, which is really awkward and uncomfortable for them, but they're going to do it anyway. So just introduce yourselves, just share a little bit about what you learned or what you saw, and then I'll finish up with a few thoughts and prayer.
I don't want to go first.
Get it over.
I know. I just don't like talking.
My name is Abe Trueblood, and the thing that impacted me most on this trip was the time we spent in the jungle. It was just, part of it was really awesome seeing the relationships we had made in the short time that we were there, and just, like, all the people there, even though they didn't know you at all or, like, speak the same language, they all came up to each one of us when we got there and greeted us, and, like, with a handshake and a hug or a kiss, or it's just really cool seeing that. And being with the kids down there was one of the hardest parts for me when we were there, because they didn't know us at all, but they just came up and, like, jumped on us and hugged us and, like, were constantly around us. And it's just, like, down there, they don't really have a lot of stuff to play with or anything, but they're always happy with what they have. When we were working on the wall, I had turned back to take a short break, and I saw just a couple kids playing with, like, a plastic bottle on the road. And it just, like, kids up here wouldn't do that because they have all this technology and all these toys, and they always say they don't have anything to play with, and they have more than what they need. And it's just, it's kind of hard seeing that, how happy they were with a plastic bottle. And yeah, it was hard. The kids she was talking about, David's kids, Etza and Charib, kind of, it was hard leaving, really hard leaving them for me, because they were like little brothers to me, and it was awesome because they would just hung out with me, hung out with all of us, actually. And there's a picture of one of the kids laying in a hammock, and that was Etza. And that was after, when we were in the jungle every night, we would do, like, sit around and do testimonies and, like, pray and stuff like that. And Etza had fallen asleep on one of our team's laps, and, like, half his body was on her lap and the rest was just hanging down. It was kind of funny because he could fall asleep in any position, basically. So I took his legs and put him on my lap, and he just stayed there for, like, an hour. And we put him in the hammock, and he stayed there even longer. It was really cool to do that. And it was just, the whole trip was hard to see all the stuff, like, going through it all and, like, thinking how much we complain about what we don't have, and then going down there and seeing how happy they are with what they, with the little amount that they do have. It makes you think, like, why am I complaining about this, and, like, what am I thinking? And it's, yeah, it was, the whole trip was really hard. Leaving was the hardest because you just got to know the kids so well in a short time, even though we didn't speak the language. But it was really fun. Yeah.
All right, so I'm Cordell, and I'm not from their church, but I go to their youth group. So back way last year, I guess it is, we got, and Liz is from a different church too. So we got invited to this youth group from friends that are in there. And so we're like, sure, why not go and everything? And so, but before all that happened, like, I decided that I wanted to go on a mission trip, and that was, like, just off a whim of watching a movie. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was, like, Soul Surfer. But anyways, so yeah, and so I told Liz that, and she was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. So anyways, from there, after that, I had my guidance counselor, I had her check out a couple places, and one of them was their church through Kurt. So I didn't think anything of it because I'm like, oh, that's a different church than I go to, even though it was right across the street. So I just kind of pushed it back and thought, well, maybe when I get older, I'll do a little bit more into this. And so then we got invited to the youth group. And so time passed and passed, and then about, I don't know, when did he announce it? Yeah, like about January, our youth minister, Wade, he's up there somewhere, he announced that they were going on a mission trip to Ecuador, and I didn't think anything of it at the time, but I kind of wanted to go, but I didn't, I don't know, it was just something that was in the back of my mind too. And then I talked to, well, a couple of us talked about it, and we're like, no, let's wait till senior year to go, it'll be a lot more memorable. Plus money right now and with school going into junior year, everything. And so we decided to wait up until, like, I don't know, it was before school ended. So, but then Liz texted me saying something about, like, do you still want to go to Ecuador? And I was like, sure. And I'm like, why, I guess? And she's like, well, I think if I don't know, what was it? Quit volleyball, I think, or something like that. I want to go. So that ended up happening. And so either, and then like that night though, like that just made me think back to when I told her I want to go on a mission trip, like in the way it was God's work in getting what he wanted and what I wanted, because of, I didn't really need to do anything and I still got to go on what I wanted to do. And for, it's for him, so he kind of helped out with it. So, and then the whole reason, because I don't come from a, how do you say it? I guess a Christian family. I mean, we do, but we don't have a set belief in our house. So, and all my friends have always been baptized, so I was like, why am I not baptized? And so I ended up asking my grandma about a year and a half ago now if she wanted to go to church with me. And so we ended up going, and so this whole thing was to become baptized. And just because I wanted to do that, I ended up going on a mission trip, being baptized in Ecuador, and I get to share all these memories with these awesome people. And they truly are awesome. They're a great family and support group. And so, yeah. I guess it's Aaron's turn.
Hi, I'm Aaron. That's my mom, my grandparents. So I'll kind of share a little bit of my backstory. Like Cordell, I kind of have a story leading up to the trip of how God worked through this entire journey. So 2 years ago, our youth group went to Ecuador, and I just felt right away, as soon as our youth minister announced it, that I just felt God say yes, like, you need to go on this trip. And I ran home and told my mom, and then like it ended up being the same week as our family vacation, and I decided not to go. And that our family vacation was awesome, but it was just a hard decision, and I felt like I missed out on something. And so then I just prayed about it a lot, and Then this past January, Wade announced again that our youth group would be going again this year, and we didn't think that was going to be possible. But God gave me a second chance, and again, I heard him say yes. But then my second reaction was, when is it? Like, what are the dates? And it ended up being the first week of volleyball in this year. And sports have always been, like, a really big part of my life. And so that was hard, because I would have to miss the first full week, and I don't know, it was just a tough decision. And so I prayed about it a lot, talked to my mom about it a lot, and ended up deciding kind of last minute to go. And I was at youth group one night, and God was just like, you need to make a decision. And I just felt him telling me, yes, like, this is where you need to be. So I ran and told my mom, and we both started crying, and she's like, I'm going too. And so then we ran and told our youth leader and Wade, and it was awesome. So then that was on a Sunday night in April, I believe. And by the end of that week, or not even, by, it was by like Wednesday of that week, I had a letter in the mail with a check from one of my teachers and one of my family members, and my trip was like completely paid for by the end of that week. And I looked at my mom, and she's like, do you think you're meant to go on this trip? And so that was just really awesome. And so God just worked through that whole thing, and stop it. And so then on the trip, when we finally got there, well, actually before the trip, I was playing softball at Northern Nationals like a week before the trip, and I got hit by a pitch in my left arm. I was in the ER, and they told me that I fractured my wrist, or my ulna, a bone in my forearm. And I was put in a huge splint, and they said that I'd probably be out for quite a while. And I was like, I was just crushed. Like, I was like, I felt like, I was just like, God, like, I just felt like this trip was like, you really wanted me to go and serve and be your hands and feet. And I was like, how am I supposed to do that with one arm and a huge splint? And then, so I, that night after I got out of the ER, we actually had our Ecuador supper with our families. It was the week before we left, so we had all of our families get together, and we had an Ecuadorian-style supper. And I was late to it, but I got there, and they just surrounded me and prayed with me. And the next morning, I had a doctor with an orthopedic doctor, and she re-examined my x-ray, and there was nothing there. And it wasn't fractured, and they took me out of the giant splint, and I was free to go. And it was just sore for a few days, ended up being a bone bruise. So praise God, that was awesome, and I did not have to suffer through that in Ecuador. So then one really cool thing that I got to do in Ecuador was I got to share my testimony. I was kind of stretched by that. I had never really, like, stood up in front of, like, sat myself, but I never really, like, given my testimony of, like, what God's done in my life to someone before. And just this entire, like, leading up to this trip, God showed me so many things. And just, it was really awesome to see how he's just orchestrated kind of everything in my life into, like, where I am today. And so I kind of got to share that and on the trip. And my favorite part of the trip was definitely being in the jungle with the kids. They were so loving, and they didn't care who we were, really. They had no idea. They just came up and just loved us and were climbing all over us. There's pictures of Etsa and all the little kids climbing all over us. And Ecuadorians are just very relational and loving, and they really get to know one another, and they care about each other, and they can just sit there and listen to each other. And that's something I think we kind of take for granted here. We don't, sometimes we get too caught up in our busy lives, and we just aren't as relational and loving as to other people. And so that was just something really different there that I just really loved. And the hardest part was definitely saying goodbye. As you saw me all crying on the screen, but saying goodbye to the kids was definitely really hard. And then just how the trip has impacted us, I think it kind of all started a fire in our hearts as a team. And so far since we've been back, we've been talking to a lot of our friends, and we started up a focus group at our school, which stands for Fellowship of Christians in Schools. We've had it at our school for a long time, but last year it kind of fell apart. And and nobody ever showed up. It's on Friday mornings at 7:30. We meet in one of the pods in our schools, and we just get together as a group, and we do a little devotional, and then we pray, and just ask for prayer requests. And it's just a really cool way to stand out in your school and and be an example. And this year we were able to restart that, and our group, like, the past few weeks has been huge, and it's just been awesome. And our youth group is starting up now, and it's growing, and we've had a lot of friends that are we never even thought would be coming or coming now to our youth group, and so it's just really awesome. And so God has showed us many things on the trip that have carried over into life back home.
Okay, so my name is Mary Grace. About a year ago, I guess, I started going to youth group, and I was actually forced to go one night, and I did not enjoy it at all. But then, I had previous responsibilities the same night that youth group was going on, and it was more of an excuse than anything, so I didn't have to go to youth group. But I went, and then after the Cornerstone ended, that elementary age program, I didn't have an excuse to not go anymore, and it got changed to Sunday nights. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go. And I went, and it was the best decision I'd ever made. I didn't want to go on this mission trip when it was first said, but I knew I was supposed to go. So I went, and it was amazing. The most powerful part was probably the jungle and all the kids, because, I don't know, they were so loving and forgiving, and they didn't care, if you didn't speak their language or whatever. They just came up to you and started playing with you, and I don't know. It was really cool. But I don't know. I guess during that time, my dream that I wanted to do with my life disappeared. And I now want to go into YWAM and do stuff on the mission field. But I don't know. The jungle was just really cool, and I definitely want to go back again.
Well, first of all, I would say that I've never... Oh, I'm Elizabeth Clark. I have never laughed or smiled or cried as much as I did with these people on this trip. And if you ever get the chance to go to Ecuador, do it. I recommend it. And go to Baños, Ecuador, while you're there, because it is breathtaking. It is so beautiful. I would say the most powerful part for me was the hospital. Amanda kind of gave an overview of it, but the thing that hit me the most was I was inside, retrieving drinks for all of the people, and there was an old man with his hands up at the glass like this at the door, pointing to the button that opened the door and let everyone in, and I just looked at him like this and was like, I can't let you in. I'm sorry. And it was just heartbreaking, because that was someone's grandpa, or that girl in the back with cancer is someone's daughter, and it was just... It put a lot of things into perspective. There were a lot of people at the hospital. I guess how I got here, like Cordell said, I was introduced to this youth group about a year ago by one of our friends. And when Ecuador showed up, I didn't really think of anything of it, because I recently went to Costa Rica in the spring with my Spanish trip, so we didn't really have a lot of spare cash in our pocket from that. I went with my sister as well. So I didn't really think about it. And then last-minute decision, literally 2 months before the trip, I was like, hey, maybe I should go. This sounds fun or whatever. And because Wade kept saying, money, don't worry about money. The church will provide. God always provides. But then as the trip came closer and closer, I began to feel really helpless and really kind of selfish almost for saying yes to this trip, knowing that I couldn't fully pay for it. But by the beginning of this trip, we were all completely paid for, and that was with the help of this church. It was all of them, and I'm so grateful for that. I don't know. Ecuador was just such an amazing experience. I can't really sum it up into words how I felt the whole time we were on that trip. It was just an emotional roller coaster the whole time. Oh my gosh. But it was beautiful. But at the same time, like, I just feel helpless right now knowing that there are people back there just still in the jungle and kids, you know, teenagers having babies and, like, these babies not having parents and being taken care of by 8-year-olds. And I just want to, I don't know, there's nothing we can do right now, which is totally heartbreaking, but I would love to go back, and I'm so grateful that I got to go with these people, and it was just something that I will never, ever forget. Oh, and I am actually, like, after going to the hospital, like, it was sad, of course, but I've actually considered going into the nursing field after that. I would have never, ever said that a month ago, ever. I'm like, no, science, no. But this, like, I'm looking into this, which is really cool. So, thank you.
Okay, so I'll just share one thing from my perspective, and then I'll pray to dismiss, right? Okay. Thanks, Dad. I could share, like, this whole page, but you guys are getting, enough. So I don't like small spaces at all. Elevators or, like, my worst fear would be being stuck in a culvert. That's never happened to me that I know of. I'm sure this has something to do with my brothers and my childhood, but I don't like that at all, and I get a little squirrely when I'm exposed to that. So they mentioned, you guys can sit down if you want to. They mentioned baños. Baño means bathroom in Spanish, so why this town is called baños, I don't know. You saw the pictures of the waterfall. So the waterfall, you can hike down and then back up, and you can go behind it, so the water is rushing in front of you. It's so awesome. I was stoked to see this. It's going to be awesome. And you can see it from far away, and you have to hike down. And then the kids all left me behind because I'm old and slow. And I didn't know where they went. So you're following this narrow trail, and it's wet and it's rocky. And, like, how do you get to where they went? And I can't see them anymore. Then I realized you have to crawl through a cave on your hands and knees to get to the waterfall. Not doing it. I said, I'm not doing this. I got tears in my eyes, and I'm not going up there. I'm not going to get down on all fours and crawl through there and whack my head and whatever else. I'm not doing it. And then, just in a moment of clarity, God said, yeah, you are. You are not going to miss this. And there's people walking by me, and I'm standing there looking like this, like, oh, I don't want to go. And I look like a tourist from North America. So I did it. I got down on all fours, I hit my head a couple times, I was really cranky, asked Erin, kind of barked at her about it, but it was so worth it. And the message there is, don't let your fears dictate your faith. Don't let your fear be bigger than what you want to do, whatever it is, whether it's crawling through a cave to see a waterfall in South America, or it's taking a leap for your job, or it's whatever it is. Just do it. God's with you. He's going to help you get through it. It's not going to be the big deal that you think it is. And I don't think that's just exclusive to me. I'm pretty sure it's not. So anyway, we've taken up enough of your time. We really appreciate being here because we're super excited about it and we want to share about it. And sometimes when people ask, how was your vacation? I don't really know how to answer that because it wasn't really a vacation. Anyway, thank you for letting us be here and allowing us to share with you. These are awesome kids. If you have any questions for them, please stop them on the way out. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for all the opportunities that you afford us, whatever they may be. We might be missionaries in South America for 2 weeks, but we're a lifelong missionary wherever you have us be. Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you give us. Sometimes we take for granted even the little things, the big things, whatever the things are, they're just things. Lord, show us how to be grateful and patient and compassionate wherever we live. Thank you for this opportunity to share, Lord. I just ask that you be with this church in their upcoming endeavors with the craft show and the hog roast and whatever you've got for them. Lord, just be with them. It's in your name I pray. Amen.